Well, good morning. Greet each one in Christ's precious name. It's good to be with you at Smithdale. I think the other time we were with you, you were over at the house. So I watched Brother John's status, and as this building went into, was built, and now we know where it is and what it looks like. It's good. Enjoyed the service so far, and bring greetings from Sharksville. Just if you get a chance and you're up our way, I'd be glad to have you. Message this morning is teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. You can turn to Psalm 90, a very familiar psalm. Just a few weeks ago, we came to the close of 2025. It's hard to wrap our minds around that. Here we are, 2026. And I just want everyone just to reflect back over the past year and answer the question, have I learned how to number my days, and am I applying my heart unto wisdom? You know, those that are in school, you know, at the end of the term, they get a report card, pass or fail. And as you think back over 2025, what would your report card look like? What would my report card look like? Did we pass or fail? It is serious business, it is. Psalms 90. Of course, our text verse this morning is verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And what brought me to this is there's been numbers of deaths recently of people we know, and it doesn't quit. It just keeps going on and on, and that's life. So this verse caught my Some time ago, this verse caught my attention, and I've been thinking about the fact that any of us here this morning, one of us is going to be the next one out of this group. It's a fact of life. And, you know, yes, we know the old will pass away, but it can take any age, middle age, the young, the children. I guess might have been last year sometime, Chris had a friend that she, well, we had a friend, but Chris would have went to school with her. They both had birthdays in June. We were at her viewing last year and the funeral. They went to school together, did things together in the youth group, and she ended up with cirrhosis of the liver and a brain tumor, 60 years old, and she was gone. And I noticed some of you sitting here, 60 years old may seem pretty old. It did to me at one time too, but won't take long. You'll realize that it's not so old, and you'll be there before you know what happens. But I thought about our group of friends that we would have ran around with, and we still get together. And out of a group of 20-some couples, out of that group, four of the couples lost their partners. They're already gone. All of them died in their 50s. Three had cancer, one had a heart attack. Anyway, it's a fact of life. Life moves on. Let's read Psalm 90. Verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep, and in the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. So just a couple questions we want to just look at real quickly and talk about. First question is, who's he talking to? Is he talking to the elderly? They're the ones that are supposed to number their days. Or the terminally ill? Yes, the elderly. Verse 10 says, our years are 70 years old, and if God gives us strength, we may have 80 years. But the end of verse 10 says, our time is soon cut off, and we fly away. So, for sure, the elderly need to number their days because they'll soon be gone. The terminally ill, for sure they need to number their days because their time in this earth is very limited. So those two categories of people only include only a few of us. What about the rest of us? Well, the second question, when should we start numbering our days? So, at 50... 60, 70, 80. Another question, how do we number our days when we have no idea when we are going to die? Well, we need to all learn to number our days because though the old will die, the young may die. Another question, so what does it mean to number our days if it doesn't mean to actually count down? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or the other way, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. You know, this psalm, Psalm 90, we just read, is a prayer of Moses. And he's asking God to teach us to number our days. You and I need to make that personal, and ask God to teach us to number our days. You know, the request to teach us to number our days implies that it's not something that we naturally will do. Rather, it implies that it's something we must learn to do. We need God to reveal to us the brevity of life. We need to get a hold of that. So what does it mean to number our days? You know, none of us can count the number of our days that we have to live. The number of our days, months, and years, it's hid from us. And only the Lord knows when our time is up. Well, the meaning of this petition is that God would teach us to number our days and just live today. Live today as if it was your last, because none of us know. You know, those who have learned to number their days, spend them in pursuit of wisdom and putting time into the kingdom of God. And if we live like that, we don't have to fear the wrath of God when our earthly lives are over. Those who never learn to number their days spend them as if this life is all there is. And Psalm 90 warns them about the judgment. We read about that, the judgment that they are destined to undergo. We don't have time to look at this psalm, but you know, when we learn to number our days, we see each day as a valuable gift, and we see it as an opportunity to store up treasures in heaven. So what does it mean to apply our hearts unto wisdom? You know, we're talking about applying our hearts to godly wisdom. It means seeking salvation, accepting Christ as our personal Savior, and having Him as Lord of our life. It means taking God's Word, reading it, and applying it to our lives. You know, God's Word will show us how to live. And that's how we receive godly wisdom. It means heeding the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit's direction as we navigate through life. You know, there have been many intelligent men that probably understood the shortness of their life, but were not willing to apply their hearts unto godly wisdom. We all probably know many people like that. You know, unless a man is taught of God and by his Spirit is convinced of sin and righteousness and judgment, you know, he will never be concerned about a future state. You know, godly wisdom is important because the choices that we make during this brief stay on earth have eternal consequences. And we all know that. Our earthly lives will not last long, and we need wisdom to prepare for what follows. So this morning's message is a very simple message. It's easy to understand, nothing that you haven't already heard. We have I have 8 points that wise people will do. We're going to walk down through that. Point number one, a wise man will know Jesus personally. I'll repeat that. A wise man will know Jesus personally. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." John 3 verse 7 says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Every one of us. We're born with that sinful, carnal nature. We know that. When we reach the age of accountability and God calls us, then we need to repent and accept Christ as our personal Savior. And there are many people that recognize that there's a God. And I'm talking about something a lot deeper than that. Yes, we acknowledge that He exists, but we also acknowledge His ownership of the whole universe, which includes you and me. Acknowledging God also includes a daily submission to His Lordship in everything. You know, He cannot be Lord of just part of our life. He must be Lord of all of our life. He must be supreme. He must hold the highest place of importance in our lives. And we already talked about very intelligent men. There's a lot of them. There are a lot of very intelligent people in this world. But at the end of life, God is going to call them a fool because they didn't accept Christ as their personal Savior. So a wise man accepts Christ as his personal Savior and knows Him personally. And this is the number one foundational point. It is. If we don't get this one taken care of, we won't get much more right as we go through life. It's just a fact. That's how it is. You know, when we get to the end of a life, it will not matter what all we accomplished and did right if we don't know Jesus personally. Point number two, and these next 3 points will almost overlap, but there's a little difference, so stay with me. Point number two, a wise man keeps wise company. I'll repeat that. A wise man keeps wise company. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So here's a question. Who are your friends? And that's for all of us, all ages. We need to think about this. Who are your friends? I just want you to stop and evaluate your friends. Are they good, godly friends that are challenging your life? You know, just evaluating your thought processes and your actions and helping you stay on the path that leads to heaven. If they're not doing that, get rid of them because they will destroy you. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That's the kind of friends you and I need. Your friends will have a tremendous impact on your life. They really will. Psalm 1, verse 1. We all know that. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, Psalm 1 was written for a reason. It was. Don't let your relationship with unbelievers lead you away from Christ and cause your faith to waver. We all heard the saying, birds of a feather flock together. Just so look and evaluate your friends because that is who you will become like. So true. And I thought of peer pressure. All ages are affected by peer pressure. None of us are wise enough and strong enough to not need godly friends. So a wise man will keep wise company. Point number three, a wise man will accept rebuke and hear instruction. I'll repeat that. A wise man will accept rebuke and hear instruction. Proverbs 9, verse 8 says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. You know, it can be hard to take when someone rebukes you. We all know that. That doesn't feel good. But how you receive that rebuke will show whether you're a wise person or not. Are you one that can accept rebuke and learn from it? Don't hate the person that is looking out for your good. And there's a lot of verses on this point. And I'm going to read. I had to wonder if that is because it's something that we humans struggle with so much. Let me read a few. Proverbs 15:31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Proverbs 8, verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Proverbs 9, verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Proverbs 19:20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. One more. Proverbs 21, verse 12 says, the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. You know, as we go through life, there are so many examples right in front of us. We all have many examples. There are many people making really bad choices, and you can watch their lives just spin out of control. Sad. Well, a wise person will learn from the mistakes of others. You know, life is short. You and I don't have enough time to live and learn all the lessons that we need to learn. There are so many hard lessons that we don't have to learn firsthand. And there is so much godly advice and instruction and examples to follow. Well, a wise man will open his ears and listen to all that advice and instruction, and will open his eyes and will learn from what he sees. If we hear and listen to godly instruction, it will spare us from so much in this life, and it'll lead us to our goal, which is heaven. So the question is, will we be teachable? Think about that. Point number four. A wise man seeks godly counsel. A wise man seeks godly counsel. There are a lot of voices out there. So who are you listening to as you go through life? There's a lot of podcasts. There's a lot of things. A lot of voices. Who are you listening to? Proverbs 24, verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. As we go through life, you and I make a lot of decisions. Through the years, I watch people make a lot of foolish decisions. And I've made some foolish decisions myself. You know, we like to make our own decisions. We like to run our own life. Be in control. Well, just remember, it's not a sign of weakness to ask for advice. It's not. You know, before you make any big decisions, seek out some good advice. There's so much wisdom out there, if we'll only ask. You know, it may spare you from making some foolish decisions. You know, one problem we as humans have, yes, we may be willing to seek counsel, but we're going to be sure to ask counsel of those who give us the counsel that we want to hear. And somehow we can find the people that think like we do. That'll give us the counsel that we want. And that's a problem. Turn to 1 Kings 12. We want to look at that. 1 Kings 12. I thought of this in relation to a wise man seeks counsel. I think we know the story, but I'm going to read it. This is an account of Rehoboam. Let's read 1 Kings 12. I'm going to read the first 16 verses. Verse 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye, that we may answer this people, who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter. And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people, that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lay you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, "Come to me again the third day." And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people." Hearken not unto the people. For the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform this saying which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, "What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thine own house, David." So Israel departed unto their tents. You know, it was some really dark times for Israel. They were spiraling away from God. And Solomon had just died, and Rehoboam was a new king. And the people were asking for mercy. You know, the decisions were up to him. It was at his fingertips to change the future. And he did the right thing. Heard what we just read. He asked for 3 days to get counsel. That's a good thing. But he chose to trash the old men's counsel and accept the young men's counsel. And it didn't work out very well. We know the rest of the story. But he lost a good percentage of the kingdom. It's a sad story. So here's a question. Where are you? Where am I going for my counsel? As I thought about that question, you know, if Google is your source for counsel, you'd better be careful. You know, with today's technology, sometimes it's easy to just do without the old man's counsel. We can answer any question that we need to have answered. Be careful. Well, just remember our point. Wise men seek godly counsel. Think about that. Point number 5. A wise man will win souls. I'll repeat that. A wise man will win souls. Just a couple verses. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Jude 1:22-23, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." There's many other verses we could look at. You know, wise men realize what Christ has saved them from, and in turn will reach out to the many lost around them and try to save them from an eternity in hell. I like numbers. Just the current world population, just think about this. Today there are over, I just checked last night, 8,378,395 people living on this planet. Now that's just mind-boggling. You know, that number that I just gave you is people living today. I mean, just think of all the people that already passed on since the beginning of time. Well, all these people that are living today across the world, that number that I gave you, are going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. Think about that. You know, God is looking for his redeemed people, and that's you and I, to warn the sinners and get them to repent. That's our job. That's what we're here for. And you all heard the statement, but just remember, you may be the only Bible that some people may be reading. Think about that. You know, wise men will fulfill God's calling and sharing the gift of salvation with this lost world that we live in. Point number six. A wise man will not be lazy. A wise man will not be lazy. A couple verses here. John 9, verse 4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Proverbs 6:6-11. Verse 6 says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. A couple more verses. Proverbs 10, verse 5 said, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Well, the truth is, seasons come and go. If you or I were too lazy to plant in the spring, we know what's going to happen, and you will not have anything to harvest this fall. If we were too lazy to harvest this fall, then we won't have anything to harvest. We're not ready for the winter months. And I know most of us are not farmers. So apply it to your life. Now is the time to get out there, work hard, and provide for our families. And work so we can help with the needs among us. There's always needs. Seasons of life come and go. You know, there comes a time when the aging process takes its toll on your body. Just talk to the older ones. We all know a lot of older people, and they're challenging times. It's, you know, their work days are pretty well over. So the challenge to us younger ones is now's the time to be out about our work, because it won't take long till we'll be where they're at. I'm talking about the older ones. You know, in the world we live in, some people view work as a bad thing. Hear it. I work in the public. You know, it's like, Mondays are horrible. It's a horrible day. Had to go back to work. Can't wait till Friday. You know, they party hard all weekend. It's one of them necessary evils. Don't look at it like that. You know, ever since the fall, we need to labor with our hands. So work hard, accept it, and embrace it. You know, if God gives you health and strength for the day, you have a job and plenty of work, and you can supply your own needs, you're a blessed man. It's a blessing to go to work. Go to work, apply yourself. Do it as unto the Lord. You'll be blessed. You know, every now and then it comes up. A few politicians keep surfacing every now and then, and I think it was brought up. They want a four-day work week, 32 hours a week, with a four-day weekend. For what? So they can serve God and others on that long weekend? No. So they can party on. We are called to work. It's a gift. It's a blessing. So, like I said, embrace it. Accept it. Embrace it. In a poll, they asked children under the age of 20 what they want to be when they grow up. And most of them said they wanted to be a YouTuber or a TikToker. You know, how sad. And I'm glad that's not true of our children. But that's a world we live in. Parents, just want to challenge you. Teach your children how to work. It'll bless them, and they can bless others. Point number 7. A wise man is a good steward. A wise man is a good steward. Proverbs 21, verse 20 says, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." And I know you already know this, but everything that you have or own is a gift from who? From God. Just a few questions to stir your thinking. Who gives you the next breath you take? We take it for granted. When God decides it, you're not getting the next breath, it's over. Who gives it to you? God does. Who gave you health and strength that you could come to church this morning? We know the answer to that. Who gave us freedom of religion? We're here. We're not worried about the authorities coming in the back door and hauling us off. What did you and I do to provide the gift of salvation that we all were in so need of and we enjoy? What part did we have in? Who blessed us with food, clothing, shelter? Who gave you your children? Yes, they're your children, but you are only stewards of them because they are going back to God someday. Do your best. Be stewards of them. Well, the list can go on and on. But just remember, everything that you have is a gift from God, and you are in stewards of what he has entrusted to you. You know, the sooner we can get a hold of that thought, the better off we will be. Because you see, a steward knows that what he has, he will need to give an account of to the owner. So let's not forget, you and I will stand before an all-knowing God and give an account of what we did with our lives. And all the gifts that he entrusted to us. Let's remember that. Just remember, a wise man is a good steward. And point number 8. Try and keep this short. I had 7, but I added number 8. Point number 8. A wise man will limit the distractions. A wise man will limit the distractions. You know, one more concern I have is the use of technology. And I'm talking to myself. We all have it. We enjoy it. We use it. You know, in my studies, I came across a picture. And you all, it's one of these things that goes around, you probably may have seen it. But it was a picture of someone there holding the phone, and they're swiping through things on their phone. And the saying went like this: "I'm inviting friends over to stare at their phones, and you're invited." Think about that. If we're not careful, that's can happen to us. You know, the world without God is in trouble with the use of technology. It is. It's not doing well. And I don't have it figured out where the limit is. My busy life limits my use of technology. But I do like to stay informed. You know, I want to know what's happening in this country and also worldwide. And if we're going to go to World War III, I want to know about it. I don't know that we'll be told when we're going, but it's nice to watch, to know what's happening out there. Well, I just want to challenge you with limit your distractions. Use this, our phones, technology, as a tool. Don't let it, there's many people's lives have been shipwrecked. Think about this. If you knew that tomorrow your life would be ended, you would not sit around looking at your phone this evening, looking at the news. That's a challenge to my life. Because you know what? Today could be my last day. None of us know. And there are too many husbands, wives, and children that are just longing for your time and attention and your love. This device that you all have will not teach you how to number your days, and it will not help you apply your hearts unto wisdom. So remember that point. A wise man will limit distractions. Well, don't forget our theme verse. We all know it. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I just want to let you with a few questions that I want each one of us to ask. I want you to think about this week. And they're very simple questions. And you could make quite a list. But do you know why you're here? Think about that. Do you know and have a relationship with Jesus? What are you doing with the precious time that you've been given? What are you doing with your days? Are you making the most of your days? Or are you here to just get the most enjoyment out of life that you can? Have you been living life in a careful or a haphazard way? There's many other questions, but just things that we need to think about. And I just want to, God bless you this week as you number your days and as you apply your hearts unto wisdom. Let's come before the Lord in a kneeling prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you at the close of this service. And we just want to say thank you. Thank you for the freedoms we enjoy. We're so blessed. We can come to your house, look into your word, and we don't worry about the authorities coming in, carrying us out. We're a blessed people. Thank you for the gift of salvation this morning. We are so blessed. Thank you for your willingness to come to this earth. Walk in this earth. You were a living example while you were here. You were willing to give your life, shed your blood, so that we could have a plan of salvation. Thank you for your death and your resurrection. We're blessed. May we in turn live for you. We need your help, Lord, as we go through life, as we navigate our way through. I just ask that you would walk with us. Help us to remember this verse, and just help us as we go through this week. Just teach us to number our days. Help us to apply our hearts unto wisdom. We realize there's a lot of temptations. The devil's real. He wants to wrap us all up and take us to hell. So we ask for your help. Go with us and bless us the remainder of today. We ask this in Christ's precious name. Amen.